Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. They do everything. I've had them work in my house. I've had them work in my parents' house. Lots of friends have called Carlos and his team at Bosky Heating and Cooling. 444-7200. We are talking today with three people that I am humiliated to say are at least 30 times smarter than I am. Is that enough?
It's only 21.
Oh, it's only 21. Dr. Stephen Collins, Dr. Gary Bars, and Larissa Lusco. And they are all part of the Tel al-Hammam excavation site, the site of the ancient city of Sodom. And they also are administrators, teachers, and professors at Trinity Southwest University, and also they have a museum. They have all kinds of cool stuff. We're going to talk to them today. Dr. Collins, I'm going to start with you because I mentioned how smart you are, but you are a very humble man. I don't want this to go to your head now, but you're a humble man, and you have been studying all of this cool stuff in archaeology and questioning things that you've heard both from the faith community and things that you've read in the Bible. You've been questioning those and talking about those things for many, many years, and it's led you to this amazing discovery, this amazing archaeological discovery of the city of Sodom. But I want to read you a quote from Dorothy Sayers. She was a Christian crime writer and a poet. She was one of the first women to graduate from Oxford University. She says this: "Tell me about the God you don't believe in. Maybe I don't believe in him either. Do Christians have God right?"
That's a very good question. But my other question when you read that was, Christian crime writer, is that Christian crime, or is she a Christian crime writer?
She's a Christian crime writer.
Okay.
She writes crime stories, crime novels.
All right. No, I'm sure people don't. But, I mean, how do you conceive of God anyway? I mean, of course, the Christian concept of God is omniscient, omnipotent. You know, he's the creator. He's the initiator of everything that exists.
Okay, but we hear those words.
And he's infinite and all of those things. But how do you wrap your mind around who God is? Well, you don't. If you can wrap your mind around who God is, then God's not much of a God. But that's why Jesus came. That's why God projected himself into three-dimensional space-time, physical form in Jesus. So Jesus of Nazareth is that projection of God in the flesh, God who came, who is with us. And Jesus says, "You see me, you've seen the Father." So hard for us to talk about the Father because we can't wrap our mind around him. So Jesus came in a package. God in the flesh comes in a package that is at least comprehensible to us on a personal level. So if you want to see God, wrap your mind around Jesus.
Wrap your mind around Jesus. Dr. Gary Byers is the Dean of the College of Archaeology and Biblical History for Trinity Southwest University. He's also the Assistant Director of the Tel al-Hammam excavation site and also works at the Shiloh excavation site. We always put questions about Shiloh at the end of these interviews, and we never get to them. Today we got to do one of those early because I want to find out about that dig a little bit. I haven't heard too much. But Gary, also have another quote from Dorothy Sayers, and she said, "It's amazing how many people hate Christianity, not having the faintest idea of what it teaches." And then my question is, do you see Christianity worldwide as hated more than other religions like Islam or Latter-day Saints or Buddhists?
It's a great question. My personal experience is basically in the Middle East. And I have not seen that from government officials that we've spent time with, or from just the regular guy and gal on the street. I haven't seen that. Now, there is more reaction to Americans, you know, the ugly American routine, than Christians, I think. But I get the Christian News Network deal, and I hear about Christian persecution all over the world. And so I know that that kind of thing does happen, but it hasn't been my personal experience. People are generally have been open to listen and engage and appreciative. You know, part of, and I'm not saying anything about Dorothy, but, you know, part of it is about how you approach them mm-hmm. and just how we come off. And I just try to come off as I'm you're going to be my new best friend. You know, if we make a relationship and I don't have, we really do very well with people in other countries, but I do know there's a lot of Christian persecution going on in Africa, in Southeast Asia. I do know there's an awful lot of that. And I would imagine Europeans might well be the people that we're talking about. The God that we know, who we serve lovingly, they probably have no clue who that is.
We've always talked about things like religion, where in some circles, most evangelical circles, that's kind of a bad word because that defines something other than living as Christ, living by the Spirit, being kind. You mentioned the perspective that you come from. Well, I know both of you. I was teasing. I wasn't really teasing because one of the reasons I love the show is because I learned so much from you. And I couldn't have achieved academically the things that you already have. We're going to talk a little bit about the materials and the resources that you have available through Trinity and your Museum of Archaeology. But you both engage with scientists on a friendship level, a love, caring level, even though they may not believe as you believe.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and you do that daily. Yeah, why not?
Why not?
But most Christians, it seems to me, don't do that well. It's almost like, well, if you don't believe as I do, I'm not sure I can talk to you.
I did grow up in that world.
If you're unsure of your faith, if you're a little bit unstable in your faith, mm-hmm. then people who don't think like you, who think opposite to you, who might even intellectually be aggressively against what you think, some people who are not firm and comfortable with their own faith skin, so to speak, are intimidated and made nervous by people on the outside who are potentially there to sort of undermine what they believe. But that, you know, that doesn't bother me. I mean, I can't think of an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Mormon or anybody out there who's going to shake what I think.
Mm. But you've put in the work.
But you have to put in the work.
True.
And so I can be comfortable in a dialogue with those people. And I can sort of help them try to see where I'm coming from. I can even try to help them see where they're wrong in their thinking and try to kind of fix that. But then I know some people who are in those camps, other religions who are not Christians at all or atheists or religious in any way, who are intimidated by us. They really are. And so they get a little nervous. Because they're not really sure of the foundation of what they think and they believe. So I think you can solve that. That's not that difficult. If you love Christ, if you love God, you're a Christian, you understand what the fundamentals of Christianity are, and you embrace those, and you're confident in those, and you have a personal walk to back it up. You know, if you don't have a personal walk to back it up, if you don't engage with Jesus on a daily basis, then I can see how you could easily get knocked off center. Mm-hmm. But if you know him and he knows you, then you're not likely to get knocked off center. So you can walk amongst Jesus did. You could walk amongst the publicans and the sinners and those folks and you'd be just fine because they're not going to influence you. They don't have the power to influence you. Simply because you're firmly rooted and grounded and we've been studying 1 John in our Greek class on Tuesday nights, and, you know, John's very clear. You don't even have the power to sin. If you've been born of God, you don't even have the power to sin because his seed dwells in you. Mm. You're born of a different seed. So
I want you to play off of that, though. There are people right now, they're devastated by COVID. They have all kinds of time on their hands. They're binge watching Netflix. And by the way, I like to watch some shows.
So you're going to binge something?
Yeah.
Why don't you binge Bible read?
And that's what I'm talking about, is you have so many resources available through Trinity Southwest University, and you have a school, you have a school of archaeology, you have a museum of archaeology. Are you able to have those resources now available to people?
When this whole COVID thing kicked up, we didn't slow down. We ramped up. I mean, we're busier now than I've never been this busy. I mean, we're so busy because we're live streaming. Of course, you know, we still have, you know, the appropriate percentage of students, you know, attending class and all of that. But we're live streaming. I mean, our classes are going out around the world. We have students on every continent practically. And so we're just going great guns. I mean, we're just teaching all the time, constantly, more students than ever. Students still coming into the program. So we just haven't slowed down.
And right here in Albuquerque, at 7600 Jefferson Street Northeast, number 28, you have the Trinity Southwest Museum of Archaeology. And I'm still contending, even though we've had you on the program probably six or eight times here in the past 10 months, people still don't know that's there. And today, homeschool groups, school groups, everybody, you guys are available to take them through that. What's available in that resource?
Well, we have over 500 biblical period artifacts on display, each tied to a biblical passage. So it's not like you're walking around, oh, gee, you know, how many pots can you look at? I mean, you know, how many artifacts can you look at if there's nothing there that illumines Scripture? We try to tie all this stuff to Scripture. So you read it, and it puts it in a passage. You see a biblical context for it. So when you read the Bible, you kind of have an idea about what the culture looks like. You have an idea. I mean, you know, if Abraham's going to light a lamp, what's that lamp look like? If Moses is going to light a lamp, what's that look like? If Jesus is going to talk about lamps, what does that look like? So you can see how it looks in different periods. It's just a physical connection to the ancient world. It's not so much there to prove the Bible, but it does demonstrate the hard physical core reality of the Bible.
And for somebody like me that learns more visually, that's why I want to go on a tour.
Yeah.
Of the Holy Lands and go to Jordan with you guys, because I think it would just enlighten everything that I've learned about Scripture over the years. We're going to shift now to Larissa Lusco. She's also in studio with us today. She is the Tel Al-Hammam and Trinity Southwest University Director of Media and Donor Relations. Larissa, I'm putting this microphone in front of you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jim?
One more congratulations for getting these two in the studio on time.
It is sort of like herding cats or roadrunners.
You don't walk around with a shepherd's hook. You need one of those.
That's funny.
Hey, and by the way, not just for them, but for your husband as well. I hope he's listening.
Oh, yeah.
He's listening.
That's funny. Larissa, I want people to know, as we're talking about the resources that are available, I just mentioned the museum. Earlier, Dr. Collins mentioned about the Greek classes and about how you could be binging the Bible instead of binge-watching, you know, some sitcom show. And, hey, a few sitcoms are great, but if you spend some real time in the Word, it's really helpful. And you've done that personally. Tell us about your experience taking the classes and doing some of the things that you've done.
Well, the Greek class is all consuming. It's been intense. I will tell you, I am not one of the star students. We've got one student, Percy, who is just amazing. But I will tell you, I am learning so much, and it is changing the way, I study the Bible. And now I'm going to have to go back, to some teachings I have on YouTube and change them, because I'm learning so much in how these authors wrote, and it's just been an experience, although it is all consuming.
Yeah, well, the pun, the old joke, it's all Greek to me. I mean, that's really, you know, our pastor, Skip Heitzig, pastor at Calvary Church, is constantly making reference to Aramaic words, Hebrew words, Greek words, depending on where he's reading in the Bible. And I've grown to, frankly, be a little lackadaisical when it comes to the languages, because when he says this is what this means, I just trust that that's true.
And you can trust it because he took his Greek from me.
There you go.
He sure did.
That's right.
Isn't that funny? I love that. There's an old, there were a couple of researchers years and years ago, and they came up with a hypothesis called the Wharf-Saper hypothesis, and it had two parts to it. It said that language influences the way we think, and vice versa. The way we think influences our language. So understanding these languages and the many different, like I know in Greek there's multiple words for the word love. Why is it important for us to know those things, Dr. Collins?
Well, it's because that's the way they spoke. I mean, that was their language. God chose specifically to speak through these apostles, these men who wrote the New Testament, for a reason. I mean, he picked that time and space and language, the Greek language in particular, the Koine, the common language of the everyday folks in the Roman period, to communicate the gospel to the world. I mean, it came there because what's interesting is that Greek disseminates into other language really well because it's very highly inflected. What we mean by that is it's very specific about what it says. Because you have, we're in English, you know, if I say you, you know, you don't know whether I'm saying you individually or y'all, plural, you know. But in Greek, all that comes through. It's much more specific than English. So when we go translate into English or Navajo or Chinese or whatever it is, it translates really well because it's so specific. And then you can bridge it into the same terminology in the receiver language. Exactly what the New Testament communicates. So it was the perfect vehicle. So because Greek and English are not the same. There are things that can be said and that are said by the New Testament writers in Greek that don't translate very well or exactly sometimes. So you really have to kind of work at it, understand what those words mean, what the idioms mean, what the phrases mean. And it makes it clearer. It just makes it clear. And to understand their world, to understand the world of the New Testament, the world of the Old Testament for that matter too. But so knowing the background, knowing the language, it all helps. And again, I would say, you know, this time of COVID when everybody's hanging out around the house, not getting too far from home, hey, listen, take advantage of this situation. Instead of sit down, you know, reading a chapter a day, read a book a day.
Mm.
You know, read a whole Bible book a day. They were meant to be read in one sitting anyway. So sit down and read the whole book of Matthew, or sit down and read the whole book of Romans, or, you know, if you don't have a lot of time, sit down and read the whole book of 3 John. But get the whole picture. I mean, I don't understand why people wouldn't take advantage of these times to sort of up the ante on their biblical education, even if it's just a personal education. Listen, the Bible will take you a long way. Yeah. Just reading the Bible over and over and over and over again will get you a long way in your personal walk.
And it's funny that people resist that because everything else we do to condition, for example, our bodies, we're doing exercises over and over and over again. And we're learning new exercises and we're doing this and that. But we almost somehow refuse to do that spiritually or refuse to do that intellectually.
Who was it in the Bible that said, Peter? Who said bodily exercise profits little?
Mm.
Was it Paul? Was that Paul?
Paul.
Yeah. And I totally concur with that. You know, even though I used to be a bodybuilder and all that
hey,
stuff.
He didn't
you know,
say it was useless. He just know, says it does. It's not as profitable.
It's not as profitable as reading scripture.
There you go. That's funny. We are in studio this afternoon with Dr. Stephen Collins. He is the Director of Archaeology and Biblical History, PhD program, Veritas International University of Archaeology. And he is the Chief Archaeologist at the Tell al-Hammam Excavation Project in Jordan, which we'll talk about here in the second half of our show. Dr. Gary Byers is also in studio. He's the Dean of the College of Archaeology and Biblical History for Trinity Southwest University. You guys have really long titles, man. I'm not
impressive.
Competent enough to read them.
Really impressive.
He's also the assistant director of Tell al-Hammam, the excavation site and the Shiloh excavation. And Larissa Lusco, She is the Director of Media and Donor Relations for Tel El-Hammam and Trinity Southwest University. More coming up. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we house children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. These children are here due to no fault of their own, and they need God's love. We accept no state or federal funding, so we need our donors more than ever. Saturday, November 21st is the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home virtual event. Stay tuned for more information from ACCH. Continue your support by logging into acch4kids.org and click on the Donate Now button or call us at 898-5520.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old-school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new-school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in studio with Dr. Stephen Collins, Dr. Gary Byers, and Larissa Lusco. They are all with the Tel El-Hammam Dig in Jordan and Trinity Southwest University. I want to go right to Larissa because, Larissa, the reason that you're here is because you're the organizer of this group. And I know that you're a planner, and I know that COVID's got to be driving you crazy because all the plans that you make, for example, I know that you have an excavation coming up January, February at Tel El-Hammam, and those plans kind of have to be fluid. So could you encourage people that are like you, that are planners and going through kind of the same thing, and then kind of tell us how people can stay updated about maybe possibly going on the excavation with you?
Well, I think as far as the planning goes, this year has not been what anyone has expected. We have all, I think even at the beginning of the year, we all talked about what a great year 2020 was going to be. It's, you know, the 2020 vision and the year of new beginnings starts. And instead now we're all looking at this reset. And I think just being, as far as being fluid goes, for us as a ministry, Trinity Southwest University, Tel El-Hammam, it's actually been great because it's forced us to take some steps that we were kind of just sitting on. We were ready to start this online portion of our school, and this forced us to do it. Like, we had everything we needed, mostly everything we needed. And now, I mean,
it's because Byers and Collins were probably exercising in the gym and not doing their jobs.
that's the deal.
That's probably what it was. No, but now we've got like upward of 50 students that join us online, whether it's a 2 or 3 day intensive. We have labs once a month. Again, all, you know, abiding within the various phases that we've experienced throughout the year. But it's been very productive. And like you said, what is it that Chuck Smith used to say? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Was it him? I don't know who it was, but I know he used to quote that a lot. And I think that that's what I've really learned throughout this process. And then on the other end of just seizing the time instead of, like you guys are saying, instead of binge watching on Netflix, taking up to even taking a class. We have classes that you can audit, and we have intensives that you can audit. We're learning about Iron Age in the ancient Near East. We have classes on ceramic typology. That may not be something, unless you're into archaeology, that may float your boat. But we have lots of archaeology courses that you can just check out and audit from time to time.
Okay, but I'm going to address something that you just said. And I know you guys are like top secret about stuff that you've discovered, and I know that. I've tried to drag it out of you, but I never get it. But I'm going to make some statements about the Bible says that Sodom was basically destroyed by fire. And I know that you have made discoveries. In fact, I'm looking right now at the Harvest Handbook of Bible Lands, and I look at some melted pottery pictures from that dig site. And so I'm going to speculate that one of the scientific discoveries that you've made is that there is a layer of melted material over this whole dig site that your group has discovered, and all of a sudden it makes the Bible and its description of the destruction of Sodom that much more relevant. The Bible's not accurate because you've discovered it. You're just reinforcing that the historicity of the Bible is true. That's got to be an amazing thing to come up with stuff like that. Now, you can deny what I've just said, but I think you're going to be telling us about it pretty soon.
Yeah, it's the destruction of Sodom is quite clear in Genesis chapter 19. You read it and you get the idea that this massive fireball sort of came out of from Yahweh out of the heavens and impacted upon the cities of the plain and toasted everything right down to the last little leaf on the tree and killed all the people and all the animals and wiped out the cities. And that's what the Bible says. And Abraham looks over the next morning and sees the plume of smoke rising from the cities of the plain as if from a furnace. So the whole place is toasted. So this was it wasn't a fiery ordeal. It was a fiery snuff out of a civilization that happened in the blink of an eye. Well, that destruction layer that you mentioned across the whole site is a churned up mess of bits and pieces of that destruction. About a meter deep, sometimes more, but it's full of things like there's some melted pottery, things like melted mud bricks, burned material, lots of charred stuff, all kinds of artifacts and bits and pieces of people that were literally blown apart, torn apart, however that happened. We jokingly refer to a couple of skull fragment parts that we brought back, as we call them Bert and Ernie. You have to have a little bit of fun with it. But not that there's any fun associated with that destruction, but it's exactly what the Bible describes. It's exactly what you would expect based on what the Bible describes. And we have a research team of about 25, maybe more, scientists from all kinds of secular institutions, and these are just secular scientists who investigate such things, astrophysicists and geologists and so on. These are not people of faith particularly at all, some of them not at all, but they're investigating this event, and it will demonstrate that the Bible is exactly right how Sodom was destroyed. Now, to me, that's very powerful, since most of the liberal higher critical community had always said about that story that it's myth, fiction, the cities didn't even exist, much less the destruction. So we have absolute now proof that, and we haven't, I know we've been mum on a lot of it, but we can't talk it up in specifics at all, really, because we can generalize about it, which I just did. But because that major scientific journal article is moving toward publication.
Let's talk about
it. And we can't preempt it in any way. It has to.
Yeah.
I
want to use this as a time for us to appeal to our listeners, because you do want people to join, let's just call it an inner circle or a ministry circle of people that can be on the cutting edge of finding out what you have to say, because you're making discoveries every year. And how do they do that? And they need to support you financially, and they need to be part of your ministry. How do they do that?
So we have a, it's called the Inner Circle, and it's $50 a month or more. But it's a group of, it's a community of mostly people who've been on the dig. I believe probably everyone has been on the dig at least one time. And I will say, side note, it is addictive. If you go once, you will probably go back. But we meet with them. They get monthly newsletters, and we meet with them live on Vimeo once a month. And what Dr. Collins is talking about, they know. They know the deal, but mum's the word. That it's just part of the inner circle. So they understand, and they know why, but we're waiting for this journal article to be published so that we can let you know.
Well, our listeners are not going to begrudge in any way that this is a ministry and you have expenses. It's expensive to take groups of people to Jordan. It's expensive to be there for, usually there for what, 60, 90 days?
6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. And so there's a lot of expense in that. COVID's not helped any of this. A lot of people don't know that the resource of the Trinity Southwest University Museum is still accessible, and that you have people available that'll take groups on tours and go through the artifacts and talk about, you know, everything to do with that. When we come back, I want to ask Gary about this data that Dr. Collins has just talked about in general. And I want to ask you about how a worldview, or what we'll call conventional wisdom, would slant the way you would view that, and how a Christian worldview would slant the way you would view that same data. So we'll be right back with Dr. Stephen Collins, Dr. Gary Byers, and Larissa Lusko. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Called Christians, a ministry in Jinja, Uganda, can certainly be recognized as a great mission. Here's ministry leader Bev Rich.
The focus of Called Christians is to bring people to Christ and then to move them deeper in with the Lord. Our focus is discipleship. Uganda has been evangelized, but they say, you know, the Christianity here is about 1 inch deep. But we want to help people grow closer and closer to Christ and to actually just have a relationship and learn who God is and know Him.
Bev and her team at Called Christians are accomplishing this by ministering to several prisons where they teach the Bible, assist with medical transports, and help supply the pharmacy. Other outreach includes a school of ministry to raise up leaders, education sponsorships, and public classes on apologetics. For this work to continue, your support is urgently needed. Find a place to give a one-time or reoccurring gift by clicking the Great Mission banner at star88.fm or knkt.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
Because you're better at some things at some times, and because different tasks take different amounts of energy, what I would encourage you to do is do what I call an energy audit. Our goal is to very clearly and very specifically determine, number one, what is it that drains you? And number two, what is it that sustains you? Number one, what drains you? What empties you? Number two, what sustains you? What fuels you? Keep track of what you do every single day. What you want to do is you want to be able to clearly define, here are the things that give me energy, here are the things that deplete me of energy. When you understand that, it gives you the tools necessary to make the changes that will help you be stronger in your leadership.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I've learned that anytime you have a world-renowned archaeologist in studio, you better have the director of media and donor relations with you. Otherwise, everything gets real confusing about how can our listeners, Larissa, actually take advantage of all the really cool stuff that these two gentlemen are putting together from the science side. How do you take advantage of, maybe you want to go on a dig in Jordan to Tell al-Hammam. Maybe you want to take classes at Trinity Southwest University. Tell us how to get in contact.
Well, we last spoke about the Inner Circle, and so if you're interested in joining the Inner Circle, well, we send out quarterly gifts, and whether it's a book or a timeline, and then, of course, as I mentioned, we have the monthly newsletters that we send out, and we meet virtually once a month, the second Thursday of every month, for about an hour, and we answer, these guys answer questions, and they can go to digsodom.com, and at the top of that website, there's the banner gives you more information. If you tap on the banner, more information about the Inner Circle. That is also the website that you can find information about the dig. So if you're interested in going on with us on the dig in 2022, that's where you will find all the information. Well, I don't know that it's updated yet, but it will be.
And those plans, you go early in the year because that's a time weather-wise that's not 200 degrees. So depending on the status of COVID, and, you know, we're all kind of excited, as the stock market has been, about the new vaccinations that are supposedly coming available. That'll make be kind of a cool thing if that all works well, and we'll pray that it does. But, you know, people can find out about that, and they can make plans, and then those have to be a little bit flexible. And you guys will make sure that you have integrity in the way you deal with people about travel and all of that other thing, so they don't have to worry about, you know, thinking this is a scam or something like that.
Yes. Yes. And if they're interested in classes, if you are out there interested in taking, even just auditing a class or enrolling in, you know, if you wanted to finish off your bachelor's or grab a master's, a PhD, you can go to trinitysouthwest.com, and we have several colleges that you can look at. But of course, we kind of favor the archaeology, College of Archaeology and Biblical History. It's fascinating. So yeah. TrinitySouthwest.com.
Have you guys found any basketballs? Have you uncovered any basketballs
no.
in the dig?
No basketballs.
That means no that basketball. The Holy Spirit was probably not
yeah.
there.
We don't know what they were playing.
I'm just teasing.
We don't know what they were playing in biblical times.
I bet you they had some kind of ball.
Oh, sure they did.
They had to have. Maybe it was rocks. I know there's a guy with a sling that was pretty good with a rock.
He was pretty good, yeah, David. And we have sling stones just like he used.
Is that right?
We have those in the museum. Yeah.
See, that'd be kind of cool to see that. So, Gary, we're talking about this data. We're talking about this meter-thick, melted, layered, fire came down and destroyed Sodom. And that data is available for Christian scientists, as you are, to look at, and then you have a lot of secular scientists that you also work with that are not just archaeologists. So how does your perspective color the way you interpret the data?
We all have a perspective. We all have a bias. And one of the problems is anybody who will not admit they have a bias, that throws everything off. Of course, we hear this with political commentary, it doesn't matter what it is. We all speak with a bias. And we just have to, we're very open because of our bias. We're proud to say we've ruled the Bible in. Other people say, oh, I'm just open-minded. No, they're not. They've ruled the Bible out, but they just don't want to say that. So that we, neither one of us, we all approaching it with our bias, just some people a little more honest about their bias than others. And so our worldview includes that the Bible can be trusted for history. So when we find stuff, we're not at all surprised that that's what we find, because that is what the Bible said, and we expected it. But as scientists, we got to be open to what's there is there. And I can give a great illustration when we were excavating where we are now in the palace that we believe was the palace that was destroyed with the city of Sodom. When we were digging down to it, we came to an area that was very burnt, had some really cool stuff in it. And Steve, I was at the other end of the site, and on the lower city, and he said, "You got to come up and see this." So I climbed the hill and I came up, and I knew if he called me, it was going to be really good. And I looked down there, and it was just amazing what we were seeing. And he came up with a scenario how this all probably happened. And we were really excited. We thought we found the palace. About a week later, and we've been talking every day, but about a week later, he said, "Really, to be honest, the pottery's not the right time period. It isn't what we hoped it was." And I know how much mean, we went there looking to find the evidence of Sodom. But, and I know how much it was, how important it was to him. But as a scientist, he was honest with the data. And so we recognized it was something else. The good news was it was something that we knew happened later than the destruction of Sodom. So we were pretty sure it was still down there underneath, and we had to get there, but we have to be honest with the data. So we expect to see those things, but we're very comfortable with being honest with what we really find, because that's part of our Christian worldview. We need to be honest with ourselves, with God, with other people.
And we did find the palace underneath.
And we did find the palace right underneath, just like we thought we would.
That's really cool. Dr. Collins, I want to ask you more of a personal question. Would you be willing to share the ups and downs kind of your personal spiritual journey? And in that, I'm really more interested in what are the questions you've asked God throughout that journey?
Oh, man, that's been, that's a long history.
Yeah? You're not that old, though. What are you, 40?
Yeah, yeah, something
don't,
like
don't
that.
I wish. I started back, I grew up in a Christian home. But I really struggled with it. I wound up, majoring in anthropology and majored in evolution in college, basically.
Right here
at the University of New Mexico. And they cured me of it pretty much before I graduated. I was no longer an evolutionist. But it wasn't the Christian community that taught me that. It was reacting to what I was being taught or not being taught, not being shown. That it came to head. I mean, it came to a point in my life where I had to pretty much either choose to go that way, to go the secular way, or to go with the Bible that I grew up with. And I'm happy to say from this point of view that the Bible won out. Now, there are a whole lot of reasons for that, but the Bible won out.
But people may not know that in the academic world, that really wasn't a benefit to you, was it?
Well, see, I was learning in anthropology. I was learning about the population pressures and human migratory movements and all ancient demographics that showed how the Earth was populated, how people moved out from an epicenter, sort of in the top of the Middle East, between the Black and Caspian Sea, top of the Fertile Crescent, how they moved out over the planet and how populations were moving from one point to another from a single center point. And so I would look at – I knew the Bible really well, and I would look at the Bible and go, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that modern anthropology has finally come to the conclusion that this is how humanity – populated the planet from that central epicenter of human population concentration. And I said, the Bible already told me that. there's a really good piece of data in the Bible about how humanity all disseminated from a singular location where Noah parked the ark, or I guess maybe God auto-parked it for him. So the humanity dispersed out from a single region, and I thought, you know what? Now, either the Bible got lucky, and it's just so coincidentally true that it matches what modern science is telling me, or the Bible story is true. It has to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't imagine that this was just a big, fat coincidence. And I determined at that point, it really was the thing that made me embrace the Bible as factual. And so I said, you know what? And from that point on, I've been reading it, studying it, looking at it, examining it critically. And I still today, from that day to this, have not found anything in the Bible that I'm not comfortable with as far as science and history.
As an outsider to academia, here's my perception. Back in 2008, a friend of mine, Mark Mathis, did a documentary called Expelled. And the gist of his documentary was that if you were a creation scientist, you could not be hired on any major university, or you would not be hired by any major university in the country, because you would be discounted as having no credibility because you were a creation scientist. As an outsider, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm starting to see that change because the so-called theory of evolution has been largely dismissed now by the scientific community. It's still not disregarded by academia and by educators, which is baffling to me because there is no science to it. But I'm starting to see, and you said this last time we were on, I asked you, is there science that's discovered, let's say even annually or monthly, weekly, that proves the Bible is not true? And you said, no, the exact opposite is true. So I guess I wanted to point out to our listeners that your position that you're describing really, from a career standpoint, was detrimental to your career as an archaeologist.
Well, yeah, I mean, we still butt up against a lot of people who don't agree with our take on the Bible. I mean, they're 180 degrees from where we are. But that doesn't bother me because I've been looking at it for so long. I'm very comfortable with the evidence. I understand what the evidence is. I understand what the excavations tell us. I understand what the history in the ancient Near East tells us. And I think I understand by now how to put the ancient Near Eastern history and the Bible history together, which a lot of Christian biblical studies guys haven't figured out yet. So I'm kind of a renegade in some ways, from the old traditional views and the, young earth and young and all of that stuff, but I still say that from my perspective, what the Bible has to say about God being the author and origin of everything that exists is absolutely true. Nothing happened by accident. This stuff doesn't happen, just doesn't show up by accident, or, we're not here by some accident of evolution.
Yeah.
We are here by the design, by divine design and even divine decree in some cases. So I don't have any problem with that. So I go with, I don't reject science.
Yeah.
I don't reject science. Good science just means observational data based on what is, what we see, what we observe, what we experiment with. And I'm fine with that because God gave me two good eyes. Well, they're not as good as they used to be. But, we have observational means. God's given that to us to observe, to understand, to have understanding. And that when we observe reality, it should match. If that's true, then reality and Scripture should match. They just should match. If they're both reality, reality is seamless. I mean, it's not two realities. Not a Bible reality and an otherworld reality. No, there's just reality. And so they should match. And I found that they do. I'm perfectly comfortable with the Bible and with science. And I would say, though, that science tends to be, if you study science historically, science tends to be kind of a moving target.
Mm.
What's, the science of 100 years ago is not the science of today. And the science of today, I guarantee you, if the Lord tarries, is not going to be the science exactly of 100 years from now.
Yeah. I'm seeing, from talking to you and others, I'm seeing that scientists are now almost being forced to acknowledge, there could be a God because there's so much evidence. The creation is so loud about the Creator. I think that the old days of turning a blind eye are over, and reality is really setting in, and God is speaking to them. Before we take a break, Larissa, I need to ask you, how do people get in touch with you? Website, we want to find out about how they might keep up with the dig at Tel al-Hammam, the ancient city of Sodom. They also need to know how they can get in touch about the classes at Trinity Southwest University.
So if they want to speak to someone, they can call Glenda at 33-BIBLE, 332-4253. Or if they would like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at Tel al-Hammam. You can search that and it will come up, as well as Trinity Southwest University. You can find us there. And then, of course, the podcast. You can go on our YouTube channel, and what Dr. Collins was talking about earlier, the evidence. In one episode, they show where the entire palace area is just sheared off at one level. And so you can follow us on YouTube or our podcast, and it's Troweling Down, Biblical Archaeology for the 21st Century.
Good stuff. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
What you're hearing is a baby's heartbeat in the womb, an incredible sound. But imagine hearing a doctor say, your baby's heartbeat is normal, but their brain isn't. That's what happened to Robin and his wife.
It was just a tragic moment, and it felt like, this is not fair. How could this happen?
Robin's daughter was born with a severe brain condition, but his initial broken heart has turned into thankfulness and joy.
I had no idea that God was so good that she could not be healed, but yet our life could be so amazingly blessed.
Robin's thankful that he and his wife have come to know Jesus more through the difficult process of raising their disabled daughter. As Billy Graham once preached,
the psalmist said, it is only after affliction that he learned to know God. Through the tears, there can be a peace and joy that Christ can give.
Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Are you looking to pursue biblical studies beyond church and personal Bible study? Take your learning and your life's purpose to the next level with Calvary College. Registration for the 2021 spring term is open now, and the curriculum features both online classes and on-site classes at Calvary Church Albuquerque. Classes include biblical studies like Spiritual Foundations and the History and Authenticity of the Bible, plus classes in key books of the Bible like Daniel, Romans, and Revelation, with video content from world-renowned biblical scholar Skip Heitzik. Calvary College partners with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University, so you can earn an accredited undergraduate or graduate degree, or simply increase your knowledge in biblical studies. The deadline to get your application in for the 2021 semester is December 4th. Find out more and apply today at calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Stephen Collins, Dr. Gary Byers, and Larissa Lusko are with me on the program today. We're talking about archaeology and science and just years of data and years of research Dr. Byers and Dr. Collins have been involved in. And Dr. Collins, you co-authored a recent book called The Harvest Handbook of Bible Lands. I love it because there's lots of pictures of all the artifacts, and you've tied in, as you said earlier, you've tied in those artifacts to historical periods, to Bible sections of the Bible, Bible verses, and you've got breakout sessions, which are kind of concentrated focus points on in each chapter. Tell us a little bit about that book and your intent in writing it.
Well, it is 400 pages long, and that intimidates some people. Because it looks like a lot of reading, but the reading is crisp. We try to keep each section concise, and if you want more information, you can go to the breakouts and get specific information. It's just like a one-page kind of quickie over thumbnail overview with pictures. There's lots of photographs. There's lots of maps. There's lots of pictures of artifacts and different features of the ancient world, just to give people an idea. We talk about everything in there, everything from weapons and warfare and men's roles and women's roles and kids' roles and crescent roles. And I think there's at least three ancient recipes in there from the time of Abraham, one from the time of Moses, one from the time of King David.
And we've sampled them, and they're all good.
And we have literally cooked them. So at least one of our doctoral students has done that. Wes Husted has cooked up some stuff for us. Because, he just got into that. He loves to cook. So, hey, test this recipe. See how it works. But there's all kinds of stuff in there. This is what you need. If you're going to read through the Bible, you need this book and your Bible. So if you're going to read the book of Genesis, read that section first in the handbook. Read it in the handbook, and then you'll understand better when you get into the Bible. You'll appreciate it more. So as you go through book by book, period by period, as you cover these characters in the Bible, read the appropriate section of the Harvest Handbook, and you will have a much better, more fun time understanding the biblical text. You'll read it better. You'll understand it better. You'll just enjoy it a lot, lot more once you have this historical background.
And I understand that this book is available.
Oh, it's available.
Larissa?
Now, it's available on Amazon. See, hey, there's a problem with Amazon in a lot of different ways. But one way is they tend to buy up big lots of books, like gazillions of them, and then they offer them for a cheap price. And it's hard for us to compete with Amazon,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we're trying to figure out. Now, we have some locally available.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can hook you up with those. And if you buy enough of them, if you want to stocking stuff for Christmas for your family, and you got employees or family members you want to give a really, really nice a nice book to that'll really help them in their Bible study, this is a great book, and it's pretty and it's really heavy. It's heavy, isn't it?
I mean, you got one right here. It's called The Harvest Handbook of Bible Lands, a panoramic survey of the history, geography, and culture of the Scriptures by Stephen Collins and Joseph Holden. Who's your co-author?
Joe is the president of Veritas International University.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working in the Middle East long enough where, if you call 33 Bible and say, I'm going to buy a number of these books, could I get a special deal? And we'll make you a special deal. And Glenda will, you know, she'll go, wait a minute, I have to call Dr. Collins and see what he'll do for you. And, how many do they want? And then I'll make you a special deal that'll beat Amazon, I promise, especially if you come by and pick them up. We don't have to pay for the shipping. Mm. So, we have them available, and we can make you a really good price on them. And the more you buy, the cheaper they get.
But even if it is on Amazon, get the book. You'll like it.
Yeah. It's a fun book. I mean, I can tell people right now. I mean, I've got one on the desk in front of me. It sounds silly, but I do like the pictures.
A lot of great pictures and maps.
You know, we were talking about David and Goliath in our first segment, and I'm sitting here looking at a Philistine sword. Well, I didn't know what a Philistine sword looked like, but it'd be kind of cool to hold one of those and to look at one of those. Anything like that in the museum?
Oh, we have all kinds of weapons in the museum.
Wow.
And some of them out that you can hold.
I love it.
Reproductions that you can hold.
And there's so many people that are out. Like, for example, I have one of our political commentators is Dr. Paul Gessing. Paul Gessing he's the director of the Rio Grande Foundation. I shouldn't say owns. It's a nonprofit organization. But he has made the decision to homeschool his children.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that he and other people that are homeschooling would love to bring their kids over to the museum. And again, people don't know that it's there. It's located at 7600 Jefferson Street Northeast, number 28. And there's a coffee shop in the center. So if your coffee's a motivating factor.
There's restaurants, all kinds of stuff going on. But, you know, especially homeschool groups. I mean, if you have some kids, you know, maybe get a 4 or 5 families together. You know, bring your kids over. We can accommodate. We don't like to have more than 12 in there right now. In fact, we have to have less right now because of kind of the viral restrictions that are on us. But we can arrange to have a great morning or an afternoon in the museum, and your kids are going to love it because we're going to put real artifacts in their hands. We're going to talk about Bible stories with real, showing the real stuff. Or reproductions that are exactly like what was used in the Bible times. And the kids love it. And the adults are going to learn a lot, too. I mean, it's an education. It's an absolute education. How many museums can you go to where they're going to put authentic, real artifacts in your hands? Well, they're not.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
But we do. And it's the way to learn. And the kids, you know, you can... You know, that whole idea that kids don't have a very good attention span just goes right out the window.
Mm.
You know, bring your knitting, mom, dad, or something to do, because we're going to keep your kids busy for a couple hours, and they're going to love it.
Absolutely. One more time, all things with Trinity Southwest University and the Tel Al Hammam Dig flow through Glenda at 505-332-4253, or what's the acronym?
33 Bible.
33 Bible. Thank you, Larissa Lusco, Dr. Stephen Collins, and Dr. Gary Byers. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.